The Killing Season by Arthur Jefferson. Episode 5.
Boxing Day morning, we were on our way to see Jane Driscoll. It was snowing heavily. Miss Driscoll would tell us about the photograph, about the group who posed on the island with the seals in the background, the group who grinned into the camera and said cheese, and months later, at Christmas, would all have to die.
Rotten, lousy, stinking weather.
This is the white Christmas everyone dreams about. May your days be merry and bright. May all your Christmases be white.
I'm not merry. I'm not bright. I can hardly see the flaming road.
Aren't we going the wrong way?
Well, this is the way to my digs.
But I want to see Miss Driscoll.
She spent the night with the constable, Mr. Farnham.
At least one of us got a nice Christmas present.
It wasn't like that. She couldn't have been expected to stay at her father's house.
Of course not.
For the last time, nothing happened.
And why have we stopped?
Because we're here.
Jane! Miss Driscoll!
Derek, I was just about to put the... Inspector! Mr. Farnham! Excuse me. Is it about my father?
Still no news, Miss Driscoll.
But no news is so often good news.
I suppose so. But if he's out in the open and lives
where
they could...
Would anyone like tea or coffee? Oh,
perfect host. I'd like coffee, if it isn't too much trouble.
Yes, coffee would be fine.
I'll put the kettle on.
Oh, does your cooking as well, does she?
This is my bedroom. And this is hers. Yes.
All right, I believe you. I reckon she's going to crack under the strain if we don't find her father soon.
How do you reckon his chances?
In this weather, nil. Mm-hmm. Look out, she's coming back.
Kettle's boiled once, so it shouldn't be long.
You sit down, Jane. I'll see to it.
Yes, please sit down, Miss Driscoll. You might be able to help us. I understand you work for the Melford Foundation.
Yes. I'm engaged in a research project financed by their Wildlife Trust.
And this research takes place on a nature reserve?
Chesson Island. About 6 miles off the coast.
Derek tells me there are seals on your island.
That's right.
You know, Miss Driscoll, until Derek corrected me, I was under the impression you had to go to the Antarctic if you wanted to research a seal.
Well, we've got one of the largest colonies of grey Atlantic seals in the British Isles.
How fascinating. They're such interesting creatures. I've always been amazed at the way they balance those balls on their noses and play those enchanting motor horns. Who have you got in your research team?
Well, we all work on separate things. There's Sandy Harris, he's the ornithologist. John and Mary Graham, they're doing a thesis on bats and hibernation. And me.
So there are only 4 human beings on the entire island?
There's the army unit, of course.
Army unit?
Well, the trust leased the island from the Ministry of Defense. It's government property. During the war, there are troops permanently stationed there. In case of an invasion, I think.
This army unit hasn't been there since the war, surely?
Oh, no. No. They arrived about 8 months ago. We were furious because we thought it would disturb the wildlife. But as it turns out, we hardly know they're there. They keep to their side of the island, we keep to ours.
Oh, you don't fraternize?
They don't encourage it. There's 5 of them. An officer and 4 men.
And what exactly did they do?
It's all very hush-hush. Long-range meteorological work, I think. We often see them sending up weather balloons, but, well, they won't talk about it.
I thought the British always talked about the weather. But how mysterious and how fascinating. Seals, soldiers, bats, and weather balloons. Do you have that photograph, Inspector?
Yes. Here.
Now, have a look at this, Miss Driscoll. Sorry, it's a bit burnt. Would that have been taken on your island by any chance?
Why, yes. Well, there's my seal colony in the background. Where did you get this?
There was an arson attack at our church hall. We believe this could have been dropped by the fire raiser.
I shouldn't think so. More likely it came from the church hall itself. The old vicar took this.
The one who was killed in the road accident?
Yes. Wasn't that sad? He was chairman of the Trust Wildlife Committee. This was taken when the committee visited the island last year. He sent me a copy.
You've got a copy?
In my handbag, I think. Here. Would you like to see it?
The complete photograph showed that the group consisted of four people. Apart from Miss Dickinson, fake suicide, and Thomas Crisp, fake accident, there were two oldish men. The old boy at the end looked vaguely familiar, but I couldn't place him.
Coffee. Jane?
Thank you, Derek.
Inspector? Mr. Farnham?
Thank you, Derek. Miss Driscoll's been very helpful. She's going to tell us about the people in the photograph.
Oh, well, the lady is Miss Dickinson. She's a dear. I was hoping to see her while I was up, but she doesn't answer her phone.
She's dead.
Dead?
She took an overdose of sleeping tablets. Very sad. Constable Derek.
Sir?
You know that old adage about children being seen and not heard?
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't it be nice if it also applied to young detective constables?
I'm sorry, sir.
You make a lovely cup of coffee, Derek.
Thank you, sir.
Now, where were we? Ah, yes. Poor Miss Dickinson. Her arthritis finally got her down. And the gentleman next to her?
That's Mr. Chris.
Yeah, and
he... Are you going to say something, Constable?
No, sir.
Good. I don't think I know that man next to Mr. Chris.
Oh, that's Fred Digby, a friend of Dad's. He's very interested in my field. Well, he was supposed to be coming back to the island with us.
Oh, to the island?
Yes. Well, he wants to take silly pictures of the seal cubs. They're born in November and December. It was all arranged for us to travel back together, but well, now I don't know what's going to happen.
Have you spoken to Mr. Digby since you've been in Melford?
No. Well, he's not on the phone. I'll have to let him know somehow.
Where does he live?
Aylesford. It's about 4 miles from here.
Oh, we can take a message for you. We're going right past his door.
Are we, sir?
Your memory, Constable, gets worse every minute. Right past his door, Miss Driscoll.
I'll get you the address.
Oh, you didn't tell us who the last gentleman is.
I thought you knew. That's my father.
Her father, of course. I should have recognized him, but I'd only seen him once before. In hospital, with his head heavily bandaged.
Here's Mr. Dickley's address. Patrick, explain about that.
Of course.
And here's some photographs I promised him.
Oh, mug shots of seals. Oh, look at this one, Inspector. Doesn't he look like your station sergeant? Well, we better make a move. Oh, this committee, Miss Driscoll, how often does it visit the island?
Once a year, usually in August. It's required under the terms of the trust.
Do they stay long?
Only for the day. We haven't the facilities to put up that number of people overnight.
I see. Oh, come on, Constable. Let's get to Aylesford, sir.
Look out, Nutto. You nearly had us in that ditch.
5 members of the committee. 3 of them we know to be dead. Jane Driscoll's father almost certainly dead.
How do you make that out?
They tried to kill him in his house. Fake burglary. Householder disturbs burglars. They crack his skull and shove him down the stairs. But they made a mistake. Your mugger lets himself in with a key. They assume he is Driscoll. They kill the wrong man. When they realize their mistake, they abduct Driscoll from the hospital.
Abduct him?
Well, they create a diversion. Drunks roaming the corridor. Then they hustle him out into their car.
Arthur Ferris said he saw them push him into a car. We didn't believe him.
The grey car, he said. Like the one that tried to run you down.
The same car, I'm certain. Anyway, if my theory is correct, I'm afraid Mr. Digby will be ruining our pathologist's boxing day as well.
Hurry up in there. I'm freezing.
Perhaps they think we're carol singers. Ah, someone's coming.
Yes?
Mrs. Digby?
Yes?
We've come to see Mr. Digby. Do you think we might come in?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Wipe your feet. I've just done the passage. Do them properly.
It's terrible weather. Such snow.
It never rains, but it pours.
Yeah, quite. Do you think we might see your husband?
Are you friends of his?
Well, sort of. We're friends of a mutual friend.
Oh. Well, you'll find him upstairs. First door on your right.
Oh, thank you.
Looks as though your theory's wrong, sir.
This door?
Yes. You don't have to knock. Go straight in.
Thank you. Mr. Digby, sorry to barge. Mr. Digby? Oh, dear.
Farnham's theory wasn't wrong. There was an open coffin on the bed. It held the waxen corpse of an old man, neatly dressed in his best suit.
Digby?
Yes. Be a good chap, would you, Constable? Nip down to Mrs. Digby. Get her to tell you what happened.
Right. I'll come with you.
No, please stay, Inspector. I might need your help. And Constable?
Sir?
Keep her talking until we come down.
Tea hot enough for you, Mr. Nuttall?
Lovely, thanks.
He always liked it hot. That's his cup you're drinking from.
Oh, is it? You were saying it happened on Christmas Eve.
He'd been under the doctor. His heart hadn't been all that good for some time, but we never expected this to happen.
A heart attack.
He'd been out drinking with friends. Left them just after midnight and started to walk back. Collapsed in the middle of the road. Ah, here's your friends. Would you like a cup of tea?
No, thank you, Mrs. Digby. We've paid our last respects. We must now be on our way. Ready, Mr. Nuttall?
Mrs. Digby was telling me it was a heart attack.
Christmas Eve. Collapsed in the street. He'd been lying there all night if this motorist hadn't spotted him and brought him back home. The gentleman said he kept complaining about this terrible pain in his chest, but he was dead when we tried to get him out of the car. The gentleman was ever so upset.
Oh, I'm sure he was. You called the doctor?
Yes. Gone midnight, but he was here within 5 minutes. That service. Took one look at my Fred and said right away it was his heart, the drink and too much excitement.
Well, he had a heart condition.
Yes. Still, what I say is this. Up till then, he'd had a damn good Christmas, and after it happened, he never knew anything about it.
How cruel. The car driver was a stranger, you say?
Yes, but a proper gentleman.
You didn't happen to notice the colour of his car by any chance?
It was grey. A nice light grey.
But his own doctor said it was a heart attack, sir.
Well, Digby suffered with his heart. The good Samaritan who picked him up said he complained of chest pains. Who can blame a doctor dragged out of bed after midnight from jumping to the obvious conclusion?
The doctor could still be right.
Not in this case. While you were taking tea with the widow, we were scrutinizing the deceased. There was a hypodermic puncture on his right arm.
Do you want a post-mortem?
No, I'm quite satisfied as to the cause of death. He was murdered, like all the others. First stop, the computer center, please, Constable. Sit down, gentlemen, sit down. Oh, excuse me. Would you find Mr. Kendrick for me, please? I'm in my office. So, what have we got? One photograph, four people. The person who took it is dead. Everyone in the happy, smiling group is dead. The question I ask myself is why?
Can't be anything to do with their visit to the island.
Why not?
Well, they were only there for the day, and that was months ago.
Yes. Well, I'm interested in that army unit. What are they doing on the island?
Jane Driscoll thought it was long-range weather forecast.
Long-range? 6 miles off the coast? Never. Still, Mr. Kendrick will find out what they're up to.
Who's Mr. Kendrick?
My systems expert. I'm going to ask him to interrogate the computer. That's the term we technical boffins use for obtaining information. We've got the disposition and function of every military unit in the world stored in our memory banks.
Yeah, fascinating.
You're divorced, aren't you, Inspector?
That's right.
Yeah, you're on our computer. So am I. Big Brother is watching us all. Isn't it frightening?
Am I on it?
Oh, yes. They told me things about you that made even me blush. Ah, that'll be Mr. Kendrick. I should warn you, he's not a barrel of laughs. Come in.
You sent for me, Mr. Farnham.
Yes, Mr. Kendrick. There's a little yellow idol to the north of Kathmandu. What am I saying? There's a little rocky island to the west of Melford Town. It's called Cheston. There's an army unit stationed on it. I want to know what they're doing there. Would you please interrogate the computer? Only use the rubber hose as a last resort.
A rubber hose, sir?
A joke?
Mr. Kendrick.
Oh, I see, sir.
You don't mind if we come along and watch, do you?
I'm sure these gentlemen will find it all terribly interesting.
What's he doing now?
Tapping out his clearance code. The computer won't give information to any Tom, Dick, or Harry, you know.
He gave it to that Russian the other night.
Oh, shucks. You sure know how to hurt a guy, Inspector. Uh-huh. It's ready for his query.
Cheston Island, you say, sir?
That's right.
Cheston Island. Owned by Ministry of Defense, leased to Melford Wildlife
Trust. Yes, we know about the island. Ask it about the soldiers.
Yes, sir. Section SY32. Officer and four men stationed Cheston since July 23rd.
Yes, what are they doing there?
Meteorological work.
What sort of meteorological work?
No more information, sir.
Ridiculous. Perhaps your clearance classification isn't high enough, Kendrick. Move over. Let me have a go. Ah. Would you all mind waiting outside? Quickly, please.
What's that all about?
Mr. Farnham has a very high clearance classification. The computer was telling him that its information was for his eyes only. Mm. Have you had a nice Christmas?
No.
It's really for children, isn't it? I haven't got any myself.
Ah. You can shut it down now, Kendrick.
Yes, sir.
Well?
Very interesting. That army unit is part of a highly sophisticated, top-secret early warning system. The meteorological stuff was just a cover. The Russians would dearly love to get their hands on it.
Why did they kill the wildlife committee?
The Trust would have to appoint a new committee. The Russians probably hope to infiltrate one of their agents, a sleeper. Someone who's lived in Melford for years. It's only committee members who are allowed on the island.
Yeah, they could do that by killing one committee member. Why did they have to kill them all?
Good point. Yes, that's a good point. Try this on for size. Not one sleeper, five sleepers, all appointed to the new committee. There's only five soldiers on the island. Five armed Russians could overpower them and remove whatever equipment they wanted.
Sounds far-fetched to me.
But it fits the facts. They'd go to any lengths to find out how our system works. I'm going to that island.
When?
Today. I can lay on a helicopter. Be back tomorrow morning.
You won't want us.
And spoil your Boxing Day? Heaven forbid. Drop me off at your place, Constable. I'd like Miss Driscoll to give me a crash course on seals. I'll be visiting the island as a wildlife expert.
I didn't know what devious game Farnham was playing, and I didn't care. We were heading back to the station when Control called us.
Control to Mr. Carter. Control to Mr. Carter. Come in, please.
Carter?
Oh, Inspector. Forensics did the blood test on Arthur Parrish's jacket. Hell of a lot of blood on it, they say. But it's not his. Came from somebody else.
Damn. Where is Arthur?
Doctor only moved to the hospital. A bit worried about a bump on his head.
We're on our way. Over and out.
We've put him in the sidewalk. Here we are. Visitors for you, Mr. Ferris.
Oh.
Was that your ankle? Sorry, Constable. My foot slipped.
Look, I can explain about yesterday.
No need. I'll be in the office if you want me, Inspector.
Right. She kicked me.
Oh, tough. Hello, Arthur.
Oh, hello, Mr. Carter.
How's your memory?
Still a complete blank, Mr. Carter.
That blood on your jacket, Arthur, it wasn't yours.
Oh, I know. It came from the man I killed.
What man, Arthur?
I don't remember.
Where did you kill him?
I don't remember, Mr. Carter.
Yeah, it's only loss of memory, Arthur, caused by pressure on the brain. The surgeon can cure it, he told me.
Oh?
Yeah, they saw off the top of the skull to relieve the pressure. Then the memory comes back. Yeah, get the surgeon, would you, Constable?
Oh, he's in no state to operate, sir. He's drunk. Oh. His hands were shaking like mad.
He can still hold a saw. Go and get him.
No, hold on. I think the memory's coming back.
Ah, right. Let's hear it.
Well, it happened last night. There's a place I go to when I want to get away from the world.
Yeah?
My own private place. But this man was there.
Where are we talking about?
Well, you go down the railway embankment just past the old church hall. You go through the tunnel, and halfway down there's this hut where the maintenance men keep their tools and things.
So you broke in?
No, I didn't break anything. I slipped the lock with my penknife.
Penknife? You didn't have a penknife on you when you were picked up.
I know. You'll find it in the body, Mr. Carter. Deep in his heart. I killed him.
Where was he? In the hut?
No. Outside. I got in the hut and fell asleep. In the middle of the night, something woke me up. I could hear this noise, a sort of moaning noise. Scared the living daylights out of me, it did.
What did you do then?
Well, I thought it better to get the hell out of there. It was pitch dark in the tunnel, and I could hear this sort of funny breathing, like an animal, ready to pounce. I opened up my penknife and held it ready. Then I started to move out of the tunnel. Something grabbed me leg. I fell. I hit me head on the rail with a tremendous crack. Put me right out. I don't know how long for. And when I come to, it was getting light. And I saw him. He was lying there at the side of the line. Blood all over the place. I've never seen so much blood. But it was an accident, Mr. Carter. He pulled me down. I fell on him with the open knife, and it must have gone straight into him.
Then what did you do?
I was terrified. I just ran and ran. Scrambled up the road, and then your police car picked me up.
The man in the tunnel, Arthur, what did he look like?
I don't know. I hardly saw him. There was something round his head.
What?
A bandage, I think.
Give them a hand, Jordan. Careful. Well, being as careful as he can, sir. Where's the ambulance?
Up there, sir. Cover the embankment.
Driscoll was still alive, but only just. They hadn't intended him to live. We found Arthur Ferris's open penknife a couple of feet away. A stupid little toy with a rusty blade. There was no blood in it. Whatever had happened to Driscoll had happened long before Arthur stumbled and fell over it. Well, Doctor?
He's in one hell of a state. Terrible infernal injuries, punctured lung, leg and arm broken, and God knows how much blood he's lost. By rights, he ought to be dead.
Will he live?
Touch and go. Mumbled something about his daughter.
P.C. Jordan's gone to fetch her. It shouldn't be long.
Good.
What happened to him?
My guess is he was hit by a car at speed. It must have hurled him in the air and down that railway embankment. Then I suppose he must have managed to crawl into that tunnel, otherwise the blizzard would have killed him. Anyway, if you'll excuse me, I've got other patients.
Sure.
Daughter. Where's Jane?
What did he say, Nuttall?
He's asking for his daughter. She'd hurry. Yes?
Inspector Carter?
Yeah?
They're paging you. Phone call.
Oh, well, thanks.
Now, come on, Mr. Driscoll.
What's that for?
Just taking some blood. Didn't think he had much left.
He hasn't. This is for cross-matching. He's going to need a massive transfusion. There's a phone in the corridor.
Inspector Carter, go to the telephone.
Sorry, Sergeant, they're still paging me.
Inspector Carter.
What did you say? Oh, that's better.
Have you got PC Jordan with you?
No, not at this precise moment. He's picking up Jane Driscoll.
Oh, you think I can have him back, Inspector? I'll run off his feet here.
Sure, as soon as he gets back.
The sooner the better. Oh, by the way, your ex-wife phoned.
Oh? Any message?
Yes, sir. She invited you over.
Tell her no. No way.
For dinner.
Dinner?
Turkey, trimmings, trifle, wine.
I haven't had a hot meal for 2 days.
Do I still say no?
It is Christmas, I suppose.
Some it is.
Tell her I'll be there at 7, but I'll have to leave Sharpies. I'm on duty at 10, just in case she's got any other ideas.
Well, I'll tell her. Oh, and don't forget about Jordan, eh?
I knew something was wrong as soon as I opened the door to the emergency room. There was no sound from the life support machine. The nurse was removing connections. Then she pulled the sheet over Driscoll's face.
It happened shortly after you left. He seemed to have some sort of seizure. I called the nurse and doctor, but it was too late.
There was nothing we could do.
I pulled the sheet back and took a last look at him. The poor old devil had been through such a lot. I saw the tiny bead of blood on his arm where the hospital technician had drawn the sample. A vague doubt started to nag, but was pushed to one side as Jane Driscoll entered the room. No one had told her. I slipped through the other door and let the nurse break the news. I just wasn't up to it.
Carter?
Sergeant Plummer, Inspector. Right?
Oh, yeah, just trying to get a bit of shut-eye. Mustn't drop off over dinner tonight. My wife never learnt much on that. What did you want?
Well, you said you sent young Jordan straight back. Still on me, Todd, here.
Oh, I forgot about Jordan. He never turned up at the hospital. I thought he must have gone straight back to you.
No, he didn't. That was nearly 3 hours ago.
What? You called him on the radio?
Yeah, no answer. I'm starting to get worried.
Yeah, Jane Driscoll would have seen him last. Nuttall took her back to his digs. I'll nip over there. She might be able to help.
Constable Jordan told me he'd found Dad. I said I'd go in my own car, so he drove off. That's all I can tell you.
Did he say where he was going?
No. But I got the impression he was driving straight back to the hospital.
Yeah, Nuttall, phone the station, see if they've got any more news.
Right.
How are you feeling?
Numb.
What will you do now?
I'm going back to the island tomorrow.
So soon?
That was the original arrangement. Sandy arrives tomorrow for the old vicar's funeral. They're very close friends. And I'll be going back with him. Dad and Mr. Digby should have been coming with us.
You'll come back for your father's funeral.
My father didn't want a funeral. He donated his body to medical research. He made all the arrangements. After my mother died, he felt...
That's right. Best to cry.
The tears won't come.
Inspector.
They found Jordan.
Where?
In his car. Parked in a lay-by off the Headley Road. Shot through the neck. He's dead.
In episode 5 of The Killing Season by Arthur Jefferson, the cast was Detective Inspector Carter, Sean Barrett, Detective Constable Nuttall, Michael Jenner, Police Sergeant Plummer, John Hollis, and Farnham, Alan Cuthbertson. Police Constable Jordan, Mark Straker, Doctor Mark Jones, Kendrick, John Strickland, Mrs. Digby, Margot Boyd, Jane Driscoll, Dion Inman, and Arthur Ferris, Manning Wilson. The Killing Season is directed by Jerry Jones.
And there's a second chance to hear the penultimate episode of The Killing Season on Wednesday morning at 27 minutes past 12.